And just to clarify, Wendy, maybe you can remind us of the biology, why asparaginase works.
Asparaginase is, again, similar to what we were talking about with Homo harringtonine. It's a protein synthesis inhibitor, and lymphoblasts are particularly very sensitive to depletion of asparagine for their normal function. And so they have a propensity to be sensitive to this drug, but it is a general protein synthesis inhibitor because it inhibits asparagine incorporation. And so you have an enzyme that depletes asparagine, and so it's going to have a multifaceted toxicity. And that's probably why we see multi-organ toxicity with this drug. It's not just depleting asparagine from the lymphoblasts, it's depleting it from hepatocytes and from the brain, et cetera. And so we see toxicity in that sense. But lymphoblasts are lymphoid cells are particularly sensitive to asparagine depletion.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Charlie?
Someone asked about the history. It's not quite as dim as all that. We had done some studies in CLGB that were not AML-based, but were AML-ish, and they weren't working. What we did then was we sat down and essentially took one of the more intensive pediatric regimens and applied it to adult ALL, and that's the so-called CALGB regimen. It had a fair amount of asparaginase in there. It improved outcomes, certainly compared to what we had seen before. At the same time, there were studies in children at the Farber that intensified asparaginase, which would have been our goal. They also tried that in adults, however, at the Farber, and it was incredibly toxic, and it became apparent that you couldn't generally apply this to adults with ALL. What then happened was the regimen that we were not satisfied with, but which was the standard regimen, was compared historically with pediatric results, and that was in the United States and virtually every country in Europe. And what was sort of interesting was that the difference was not in CR rate in the adolescent patients. The CR rates were approximately the same, but it was in progression-free survival. So induction may have had a role in that. What was very likely more important was the ability of the pediatricians to administer post-remission therapy. As Wendy said, the more intensive, essentially more intensive asparaginase in incretin was adopted in adults. You can do it in young adults. But as was also stated, if you go above the age of 40 in France, maybe 35 in Spain, but the point is that there is a cutoff at which the intensified asparaginase becomes much more toxic. A lot of doctors in the United States, particularly if the patients aren't referred, like and prefer hyper-CVAD, and there's some merit to that in that it's easier. Adult oncologists are good at inpatient therapy, and there are blocks of inpatient therapy in hyper-CVAD, so you know where your patient is, you're seeing your patient, and it's less dependent on the subtleties of all of the outpatient stuff that characterize the pediatric regimens. So that was one of those reasons, aside from the fact that the results were good, that the shift in the United States became a bit towards hyper-CVAD, simply because although the myelosuppression was greater, there were fewer intrathecal injections, and it was just sort of easier to do.